All right, welcome into another Daily Wager Extra podcast. We're taping this on Thursday, December 23rd. Obviously, a few days before Christmas. Last week got extended into a couple days during the week just with COVID delays and all that. So hopefully we have some normalcy this week. Playoff races heating up. We're going to get into all that with Mr. Executive Director John Murray. And we're heating up a little bit in the bonanza. I think four combined winners for the between us. So good stuff on that front. We got a couple picks at the end, but we're going to break down all the games straight ahead.
Kicking is for losers.
Back with Las Vegas odds maker, Mr. Executive Director John Murray here. Big bounce back for the books last week. Am I right?
Yeah, we did very well on Sunday. Definitely the highlights were Detroit beating Arizona, and then, of course, New Orleans beating Tampa. Sunday Night Football, New Orleans wins that game 9-0. Kind of crazy to watch the Buccaneers offense look that bad. I know they were missing a lot of players by the end of the game, but it was still pretty stunning to see them get shut out like that.
Yeah, bonanza winner for me there. I did not expect an outright win. I just, missed Morty Seinfeld strikes again with Brady, but more so the defense. And that Saints team just plagues problems for Brady and company. I doubt that they'll, be an issue in the playoffs because I don't think the Saints will get there, but we shall see. And we have some news developing in this hour about the Saints quarterback situation. But we'll get to there. Let's go. Let's at least start chronological order. And we have the Niners red hot. I believe they've covered 5 of 6, laying 3 at Tennessee. I believe it was 3.5 earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Why did you guys take any sharp money or anything like that?
Well, we actually had this game as a pick 'em on the 12-day number that we put up last week. Tennessee didn't look good over the weekend. The 49ers are kind of rolling along right now. They beat Atlanta easily. They've 5 out of 6. I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
We opened it 3 when we reopened the numbers on Sunday night, this past Sunday. We moved it up to 3.5 with the market, but we saw some very respected money take the 3.5 in Nevada at the Superbook. So now we're back down to 3. Maybe we overreacted a little bit too much. You talk about a game where Tennessee was favored in that matchup pretty much all season, right? And then there was a pick 'em last week. Maybe we got a little carried away with 3.5. There were some wise guys that felt that way, at least.
I want no part of Tennessee right now. I think they're very limited, although they played well against Pittsburgh. That was a good game, I thought. Niners are a little trendy, but I still like them tonight. I think they're about a touchdown better than Tennessee.
That was one of the few games we did lose on Sunday, to tell you the truth. We had a lot of money on Pittsburgh in Nevada, and our big VIP player at the Lodge Casino in Colorado bet Pittsburgh too. So one of the few games we lost on. I thought Tennessee had some tough calls go against them.
Yeah.
And they coughed the ball up several times, kind of gave that game away to the Steelers. If they can correct those mistakes tonight, maybe that number is a little bit high. But, man, the 49ers – they get into such a good rhythm with their play calling. I think Kyle Shanahan's the best play caller in the NFL. And I've had a lot of fun over the years making fun of Jimmy G, but the last few weeks, he's really looked in control of that offense. Very talented playmakers around him on offense. San Francisco, they're not a team that's going to make a run to the Super Bowl, but they do look like a team that's going to safely get into the playoffs, maybe win a game.
I don't know. I think 30-1 is worth a piece for this Niners team. I know the NFC is loaded, but remember, you don't have to beat every team. You just have to beat three teams. And by the way, go ahead.
It's just tough to win 3 games on the road, but I know what you're going to say. Tampa Bay did it last year. And of course you're right. There's no question.
It started with Washington too. But I will say this, the defense enables it too. Like, their defense can travel. And that's something that some of these other teams do not have. I want to say, by the way, this 5-1 stretch, ATS and straight up, the game before that, so 7 games ago, they had that Arizona game where they had a million fumbles and turnovers against Colt McCoy and lost at home. So like that rhythm of play calling was there. Turnovers went against them.
That was one of our horror stories of the year as a sports book. We got the info early on that Kyler Murray wasn't going to play, and we wrote all this money on Arizona. Colt McCoy goes in there at San Francisco. And the Cardinals win easily, like you mentioned, mostly because of 49ers turnovers. But still, that was one of the games that will sting all season long. You don't forget about those.
Yeah, that stings for me too. Oof. Okay, so Saturday's games, very interesting, especially this nightcap. But the first one's Green Bay. This number's trickling through 7 to 7.5. Packers at Lambeau over Cleveland. I've lost count on who's playing, who's coaching. This COVID component is really throwing a wrench, and I imagine odds making, but handicapping. I mean, anyone's guess is as good as mine.
Well, can I complain a little bit about the Browns game last week?
You know,
once we heard that Mayfield and Keenum were both in health and safety protocols, we booked very aggressively to need the Raiders. And then the league moved the game 2 days after. I thought, didn't they say before the season they weren't going to do that? They weren't going to move games. They were just going to forfeit games, have the teams forfeit if they couldn't field a roster. So we were shocked by that. And then we come to Monday, and the quarterback still couldn't play. So why did they bother moving the game by 2 days? They still weren't going to let the guys play. They did the same thing to Washington, moving their game Sunday to Tuesday and not letting their quarterbacks play. But that game was a huge headache last week, and we got bailed out by the Carlson field goal there. The Raiders did win the game. This week, saw one very respected player early in the week in Nevada, took 7.5 with Cleveland. No need to move down off that number, though, because Green Bay is one of the most popular public sides this week. Every Moneyline parlay and teaser is going to have the Packers on Christmas.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see the chalk holds on some of these island games. You have several island games, right? You have Thursday, you have two on Saturday, Monday and Sunday nights too. So going to be some big swing games on Christmas Day, especially you got the fire, you know, got that Christmas money for mom and dad. You can fire. I don't understand.
That's terrible advice, Doug. How could you tell these kids out there to get the money from grandma better than a football game? I mean, come on.
I don't understand the nightcap. I think Arizona's cheap. I like the the line, so to speak. I mean, I just think the Colts, like, they did some damage last week, but I think Arizona's cheap here.
Well, it's just like the San Francisco-Tennessee game. We talk about how the 12-day number there was pick 'em. In this case, we had Arizona -3.5 as our look-ahead number. Colts go in, at home, beat New England. They take care of business on Saturday night in a high-profile game. And then, like we mentioned earlier, the Cardinals, obviously their worst performance of the season, losing at Detroit when they're in the middle of a division race and possibly battling for the number one seed with Green Bay and Tampa Bay. I think that's gone out the window after that loss to Detroit. The public saw all of those things happen, and they're betting the Colts in this game. But here's the thing. The sharp guys are betting the Colts, too. They always do.
Really? Oh, yeah, they do every week. That's right.
The wise guys are on – they're on Indianapolis every week, and we had a very respected player on Tuesday morning took the Colts at +1.5, which did surprise me because that guy could have had +3.5 a week ago, same game.
Yeah, but the limits on the advanced lines are low, right? Like, all the sharps play that, right? Like, just because of tipping their card, so to speak.
That is very true.
I always try to, like, remind people the look-ahead line is not exactly Sunday morning, you know.
No, no. At that point, the market is absolutely not settled, especially in this day and age with the COVID protocols. I mean, we don't, like, right now we're talking on a Thursday. We really don't know who's going to play on Sunday. But when we did the numbers for week 17 on Tuesday, we have no idea who's going to play in a week and a half. It's very challenging.
Yeah, for sure. But I like Arizona. Let's go to Sunday. I mean, look, those losses to the Lions, like, that's going to happen in the grand scheme of a season, right? Like, these eggs you can lay. So that's why I'm looking past it. I'm also looking past it for Tampa because Carolina's been terrible. Cam's been terrible. I want no part of the Panthers. Obviously, Godwin being out is big. But give me the Bucs. I mean, AB's coming back. Give me the Bucs -10. I think they roll them.
Well, the Bucs offense struggled so much on Sunday night against New Orleans because almost all their playmakers were out of the game. Brady's kind of on an island by himself without all of his star receivers, his top running back. He's getting a couple of those guys back this week. But the Bucs are still pretty banged up. They've got some key guys out. You mentioned Godwin, Fournette, David's out. There are some key players for Tampa that won't be in this game. We'll need Carolina. I mean, you know how people are going to bet that game. They're just going to lay them. They're going to lay the points with Tampa, and they're going to throw Tampa in their moneyline parlays. I don't know that we can really expect the Bucs to lose as a double-digit favorite 2 weeks in a row, but it sure would be nice for business.
I'm just going to throw out the game because the Saints just play well, play Brady tough. I think it's just a bad matchup. I don't think it's a trend. You know, they're trending on the decline or anything like that. I'm not going to overreact to that game. That's just what the Saints do.
You can't overreact. You got to be careful to not overreact ever. I mean, think about what happened in week one of the NFL season involving the New Orleans Saints. If you remember,
right.
they beat the Packers by like 50 points. I don't think the Packers even scored a touchdown. And there were people saying that Rodgers was going into the season basically as an FU to the organization. Now here we are 2 days before Christmas. Green Bay is going to be the number one seed, and Rodgers is the co-favorite for MVP.
Right. Yeah, and that's week one, too. Things get, you know, are always wonky in week one. Okay, let's keep it moving. Another big spread. Eagles get the win over Washington. A little bit of drama in that game. Washington started strong. Giants are, you know, just limping to the finish line. They did hang around a little bit with the Cowboys, but 9.5 is your line for the Eagles.
Yeah, what are the New York Giants doing? What a mess of an organization that
is. It is a mess right now.
It's
for sure.
It's just ridiculous. We'll need the Giants here. Having said that, Eagles a 9.5-point favorite. At first glance, that does look a little high. But it's so high because of what you just said about New York being a mess of a team, limping to the finish line and just playing out the string of this 2021 NFL regular season. They don't have anything to play for. And, man, it shows. And Philadelphia, after that win they had Tuesday against Washington's ninth-string quarterback, they actually control their own playoff destiny. So the Eagles, hopefully for the city of Philadelphia, on their way to a wild card game.
Yeah, no, they look like they're like probably going to sneak into the playoffs. I like that.
Yeah, no, they do. They do. And they could be an interesting matchup for some teams. They could be an interesting matchup for, let's say, in Arizona.
Right.
They could win a game on them.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Another double-digit line here. Chargers laying 10 at Houston. Texans get the big win over the Jaguars last weekend. I don't want any part of it, any team here. Maybe Chargers a little bit, but not really.
Yeah, we've been watching the Chargers health and safety protocols news. But other than that, not a whole lot to report. Chargers are going to be thrown into some parlays with Philadelphia, with Tampa, with, of course, Green Bay on Christmas Day. Other than that, and everything's going to run to Dallas, which is for some reason the Sunday night football game. So other than that, I expect that to be a very low handle game on Sunday morning.
Yeah, no, not a lot of interest there. I want to keep going with the big spread theme, and then we'll come back to some of the other high-profile games. Chiefs laying 10, or what are we at, 9.5? I mean, there's some numbers all over the place here with the Chiefs and Steelers.
Well, that's a game that's probably had the most right. health and safety protocol news this week. I was off the board for a while. When everything's settled, I'm sure we'll need Pittsburgh. But it's a tough game to discuss in terms of like doing a betting preview, because the game has been off the board quite a bit this week. It's going to be a one-way onslaught of money on the Chiefs, of course, but not a whole lot to report right now on that game.
The new favorites, right? The new favorites in many sports books. Kind of crazy.
I think they have to be. I think they have to be because they're playing so well defensively right now. If Patrick Mahomes and that offense can be.
But are they? Like, are they?
We keep saying that.
Prior to the Chargers game, they had nobody impressive. Like, they played the Packers without Rodgers. They played Dallas with limited weapons and then a bunch of bad teams, like the Raiders twice. Although the Raiders' offense is okay. And then the Chargers moved the ball and then just, you know, could have had nine more points, you know. Like the points per game allowed is misleading.
That's fair, and that's a good point. That Charger game feels like a long time ago, but that was last Thursday night's game, and obviously the Chargers should have won that game, and we would be having a very different conversation right now. So I think that's a fair point by you. We had opened this game around 10.5. It got down as the 7.5 range, and some of this news started coming out. Right now we just have it off the board while we wait for more info.
All right, and one more big spread Sunday night. Dallas against your Washington football team, 10.5. Heinicke looks like he's going to get cleared to play. Yeah. So you get that extra hook on the 10.
Yeah, I don't know like why. I thought we were in the season where we do flex games. Why is this still the Sunday night football game? We'll need Washington big. So it's just like that. Really, the last three Sunday night games now have all been basically the same thing, where you've had a big home favorite in the division matchup, Green Bay over Chicago, Tampa over New Orleans, and now Dallas over Washington, with all your parlays running into Sunday night football. Last week, we hit the home run. We got New Orleans to win the game. I don't know that we can count on Washington to do that for us this week.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think so. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I just like this Dallas team. They're clicking right now. Some good stuff. All right, let's bounce around to some of the other games. I think the biggest one, or one of the more interesting ones, Baltimore-Cincinnati. Bengals a 3-point home favorite. I think we're going to get Lamar Jackson, and they kind of like was a, mm-hmm. you know, they held him out for, you know, just to be, you know, conservative. But I like Baltimore here. They always do what you least expect them to do.
What did you think of John Harbaugh's decision to go for two there at the end of the game against Green Bay?
I didn't like it because it was going for the lead, and there was too much time left, one timeout and Rodgers with 45 seconds left or so. So I don't like it when you can't like secure a win with it. I think it's I think it was kind of like unnecessary.
Yeah. I thought it was the right call based on his, like, listening to him in the post-game press conference talking about how banged up his secondary was.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
But there are some people that turn me a little bit, A, because of what you just said about this doesn't end the game. Rodgers still has time to go down the field and kick a field goal. And B, you would think that Baltimore would always have an advantage in overtime because they have the greatest kicker in NFL history, Justin
right.
Tucker. And I can't disagree with either of those points. So that was one of those ones where I think I probably would have gone for it too, based on the injury stuff that Baltimore had was dealing with. But I don't totally disagree with people that say they made the right or they made the wrong decision. Excuse me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we're going to be watching this game very closely. This will be one of the games that we watch the closest on Sunday. We've got big liability right now on the Cincinnati Bengals winning the AFC North. So this time of year as a bookmaker, you're not just looking at your games on Sunday and Monday and Saturday. You're looking at all your futures positions. Hmm. And we're buried right now to the Bengals in the division. We've had people betting us on that all year. Wise guys betting us on that all year. Lamar Jackson gets hurt for a stretch. Cleveland has their whole team get COVID. Pittsburgh's not very good this year. And the Bengals have really emerged as a very talented young team. And they're the favorites right now to win this division. And this is a critical game for that bet.
Yeah, no, for sure. They've been pretty impressive, just kind of withstanding some of their inconsistency and still here, still kicking. Just to put a bow on it, my old take on the two-point conversion and all that stuff is I'm not as aggressive as you. Like, I defer to the coaches. Like, I do think there is an element of, like, player availability, like if your guy just got a long run, has to come out for that play, or you ran a play earlier in the drive that sets up a good play action off that play. You know, there's so much nuance and intricacies of player health, player stamina, what plays you have left in short yardage situations. Like the Chargers, by the end of the game, were on their like seventh short yardage, you know, option. So
true.
Things like that all kind of go into it, and that's why you have to give deference to the coach on some of these kind of 50-50 calls where, you know, Harbaugh sometimes could be playing the long game. Like earlier in the year when he went for it against the Chiefs, maybe he's trying to build trust with his team and win them over. There's so much other stuff outside of just like a math equation that people, I think, kind of overlook. I mean, coaches do things to play the long game and win the locker room, right? So to do that early in the season, to go – maybe who cares if they, you know, obviously they want to win the game, but maybe that is more important now. He had been there a while and whatever that, you know, but if it's a new coach, things like that. So there's all sorts of elements into this that you can't really put a math equation on.
That's fair. And you mentioned giving deference to the coach. Some coaches have earned that deference. John Harbaugh is one of them. Some coaches have not earned our ability to defer to them, right? So there's some coaches that do stuff.
Vic Fangio calling.
Well, I wasn't going to name names there, man. But Vic Fangio certainly has not earned.
He completely cost his team 40 seconds at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Against the Bengals.
It's a shame because Denver actually has a lot of talented young players. They've drafted fairly well. They've got that gaping hole at quarterback, but they've drafted pretty well. They need a coach and they need a quarterback. That's it. And they need an owner. The Broncos have no ownership.
Besides that, they're awesome.
Once they get an owner and a quarterback and a coach, that's a playoff football team there in Denver.
Not real quick. I'm going to keep it with the same concept. Buffalo, New England, very similar game as Baltimore, yeah. Cincinnati division on the line. This one's 2.5. I like Buffalo. I liked them in the previous game. I think the wind changed everything. I don't think the Patriots are that great. We saw that with the Colts. I think the Bills are capable of going in there and winning outright.
I agree with you. And I said it. I said it, what was that, 3 weeks ago? They played each other, and I liked Buffalo in that game. I like Buffalo in this game, too. So maybe Bill Belichick can make me look like a jerk for the millionth time. In the last quarter century, but I agree. I do think Buffalo is a better team than New England. I think New England feasted off of some weak opposition. They got exposed a little bit on Saturday night by the Indianapolis Colts. It's always a little scary going against Bill Belichick, but I got a lot of confidence in that Buffalo Bills team. I think they're going to win this game on Sunday. That's a great game. We really haven't had good matchups in the mornings to show in the Superbook. The 10 a.m. West Coast slates have been pretty weak, but Bills, Patriots, probably for the AFC East title. That is a hell of a game.
Yeah, no, for sure. And similar line here, but not a division up for grabs, interconference here with the Rams and Vikings. Not interconference, interdivision, excuse me. So Rams are 3-point favorites at Minnesota. Vikings showing some life of late, get the nice clean win on Monday night. Kirk Cousins exercises some Monday Night Football ATS demons. Rams are peaking. They're double digits to win it all, 11-1. I could be convinced to play that, but yeah. They've just been so inconsistent all year, and this defense is not the same as last year's defense.
It's just going to be tough if they have to go through a – let's just pretend that they had to go through a scenario where they played at Tampa and at Green Bay just to get to a Super Bowl date with Kansas City or Buffalo. That you do better than 11-1 if they had a road like that.
But yeah, but they might win the division. They might win the division.
They could.
Arizona lost to Detroit, so that leveled up. That caught them, and then – you know, obviously that changes things. They'll have a home game.
But even if they won the division, they could still have to face all three of those games I just mentioned.
For sure. Depending on seeding. You're talking about the second
and
third rounds.
But the Rams are peaking. I do agree with your first point. They're the class of the NFC West, and they're playing like it right now. Minnesota, I'm not going to read too much into a win over the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football and talk about a coach that doesn't deserve us to defer to him. That would be Matt Nagy. The Chicago Bears, who I don't think much of at all. And it's tough. I got a lot of questions about Justin Fields' future, but I know that he's not in a position where he can succeed, so I don't want to hold it against him too much. Matthew Stafford is in a position where he must succeed with Sean McVay and those weapons around him on offense. Big game. Rams will get all the money. I know that.
Let's go Monday night because we got some news here. Taysom Hill now in COVID protocol, as is Trevor Siemian. So Ian Book, Notre Dame quarterback, and I believe the all-time leader in Notre Dame school history in touchdown passes, I believe, past Montana and stuff. But so this line's going to steam down a little bit. Miami's catching 3. This is going to move. I would imagine we're at like pick-em-ish area.
Well, you don't want to – we just got to be careful in a game like that because we don't – Taysom Hill is not exactly Aaron Rodgers himself. no offense, but it is what it is. The funny thing about that game, we were first sitting down to talk about it last Sunday night, was you can't make these New Orleans totals low enough, you know, and we put up 40, if I have that correct. And then we watched the Saints shut out the Bucks 9-0 on Sunday Night Football. And the total reopened like 39 to maybe 38.5. And now one of the two teams has its starting quarterback out, if you want to call Taysom Hill their starting quarterback. So this could be the lowest total game in a dome in the history of the NFL.
Four straight unders for the Saints. Mm-hmm. And then obviously I would think Taysom Hill helps the under more than Book because Taysom Hill runs so much and he can't throw downfield, or Book, I mean, is somewhat competent.
We don't know that.
A pocket passer. Yeah.
At the start of the show, you said, I got some news that Ian Book is playing. And then you said for the Saints. And I said, thank God Doug didn't ask me on air who he was playing for. We'd have to hit the edit button there. I didn't even know that Ian Book was a New Orleans Saint.
Denver and Vegas at the Big Al in Sin City. Pick 'em-ish. I mean, is there any read on this game for you guys? I mean, nice win for the Raiders, right?
Yeah, that was a great win. on Monday against Cleveland, all kidding aside, Daniel Carlson with the clutch field goal there keeps the Raiders somewhat alive. Meanwhile, Denver's coming off of a terrible loss. You mentioned Vic Fangio's clock management. They lose to the Bengals last week. It really puts them on the outside looking into the playoff race. I guess both these teams still have some hope of getting into the postseason, an outside hope. Not much to report on the betting action here. I don't even know that we'll need Denver in this game. Not necessarily. The public has not really been backing the Raiders at all the last few weeks, and they've turned their attention elsewhere, man.
Yeah, well, maybe off the big win. Maybe there's some excitement there. Pick them, you know, they're at home. Who knows? But, I mean, really, the game we should really put on the big screen in the sports book. Jacksonville at the Jets.
Oh, of course.
Pick your poison.
Yeah, that sounds like a great matchup there. Jacksonville actually getting a lot of wise guy play last week. They got steamed up.
So strange. I was chuckling the whole time.
It really was funny. And then they just went out there and they looked like the Jacksonville Jags, didn't they? Terrible performance. They lose at home to Davis Mills, of all people.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Not much to report on this game. It'll be a very low-handle game. I'd say about the only way that we could have high handle on this game or even decent handle on this game is if they had a COVID outbreak and they had to move the game to Tuesday or something.
Oh, that would be great. That would just be awesome. It'd feel like Maction, you know, midweek, yeah. Kind of like that junior varsity non-power five sort of situation.
Tuesday night football, the Jags and the Jags and the Jets. I mean, I guess if you're looking for one talking point, this is the first and second overall pick, both quarterbacks, both rookies, going head-to-head for the first time, which usually something like that gets a lot of chatter, right? Usually if the top two picks were both quarterbacks and they're going head-to-head, people would be talking about that. But with the seasons these teams have had, there just isn't a whole lot of interest.
All right, buddy, let's get to the bonanza.
Yes, sir.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, we're on a little bit of a roll here, Murray. Of course, we pulled back on the amounts, but we got there with the Saints. Obviously, easy winner plus the points. And your winner was the Colts, so well done there. Four straight combined winners for you. I think I've hit three in a row.
No, there's no way I've got four wins in a row. I think you're lumping in some of your wins.
Okay, so maybe we're together four straight, yeah, so back-to-back weeks.
And it's probably three of them are yours, too. You know what? I think I had Baltimore. Remember I had that really easy winner, Baltimore plus three, 2 weeks ago against
Cleveland, yeah.
Oh, that was a gimme.
All right, my man, where are you headed? You're on the tee box still. You got the honors.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to do it again. You know, if the best thing you can do in life is just to bet against Bill Belichick every week, you know? So I'm going to do it again. I'll go Buffalo plus 2.5. They're at New England this time. I'm hoping that they'll at least be able to throw the football downfield. I'll do that one for 1,000.
I like Arizona. I see a plus one at Circa. Are you with me on that? Yeah.
Full disclosure to the listeners, I'm at my mom's house Great Falls, Virginia for Christmas. I came home with the dog for Christmas. I don't have all the resources I normally have, but you're such a trustworthy guy. I'll just believe you. I mean, I could look at, I have all the apps on my phone. I can look.
Yeah, so I have plus one there. I'm going to do a dime. I trust Arizona. I don't trust Carson Wentz, plain and simple. I think you're getting value on this Cardinals team. I think Jonathan Taylor could have a big game. If they win, I actually think 10-1 is worth a play right now on Taylor MVP. I think voters like to be kind of purists and different, and I think kind of Rodgers and Brady will split some votes, obviously, if they each win out the rest of the year. So I think Taylor might be like a chic pick, kind of like we saw with Devontae Smith, the wide receiver, winning the Heisman. I think Taylor's going to get it if they win out from here.
I've been saying for a while I think Aaron Rodgers is the MVP this season. Right now we've got Rodgers and Brady both at plus 150. That's a big move after last week.
Yeah.
Brady gets shut out on Sunday Night Football. Green Bay wins again. Green Bay's got a high-profile game Christmas Day against the Browns. We do have Jonathan Taylor as the third choice. He's 10-1 at the Superbook right now.
I like the 10-1. I really do. I think there's value there. Again, it's handicapping the voters more than it's handicapping who I actually – I don't think Taylor should win. I don't. I don't think running backs that impact that much. He's very good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to, like, try to bring up negatives. He's awesome. But Rodgers is the man, and so is Brady, in terms of statistics and value to the point spread and value to their team. We saw what the Packers looked like when Rodgers didn't play. He was Jordan Love was terrible. And I think the Colts would look a little bit better if they didn't have Taylor than the Packers did without Rodgers. It's pretty simple.
Oh, well, there's no question about that. And that's not a shot at Jonathan Taylor.
Right. Right. We're splitting hairs of the beauty pageant, right? We have to find moles here and there.
Right. Of those three guys, the guy that would affect the point spread by far the most is Aaron Rodgers. So let's keep that in mind.
And a rookie backup for Tampa, though. So you think
true.
Trask.
Oh, Brady, Brady would have a big drop, but you know, and this is unfair to Brady, but when all of his star receivers were out on Sunday night, he looked every bit the part of the Morty Seinfeld character that we always joke that he is. Whereas if you look at that Thursday night game in Arizona, Green Bay at the Cardinals, no Davante Adams, key receivers out for Green Bay. That line steamed up all the way to 6.5, and Rodgers just still moved the ball up and down the field. The Packers won that game. I mean, you don't want to put too much stock into one game, either the positive or the negative. But I just feel that Rodgers has been the best player in the league this year. I think he's the most valuable player in the league.
To play devil's advocate, Rodgers also had a terrible game against the Saints. Just no one's going to bring it up because it was week one.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Yes, he did.
And what was my other point I was going to make?
Hey, I brought that up. I brought up the Rodgers performance in week one.
Yeah, I wrote about it in my call. It's just I do think they'll be held against him some of the COVID stuff, the COVID word salad, as I like to say, and then even the off-season contract stuff. I think voters will want to be different, and if they have a reason to vote for Taylor, I think they'll choose Taylor.
Okay. Do you have any other plays? I do have a play.
No, I only have one play. You got some Prince of Props action?
My guy, yeah, we're going. I'm going to be out with the guys tonight in Old Town. So
okay.
He Old Town Alexandria here in lovely Virginia. He's big on this one tonight, and it's a guy that I mentioned earlier on the show has been playing well lately, Jimmy Garoppolo, over 239.5 passing yards.
Ooh, okay.
So we'll do that for 1,000. Garoppolo has really looked in control of that offense the last few weeks, and when they have George Kittle and Debo Samuel in the lineup, it's a very potent offense for the 49ers. I love Kyle Shanahan. You know that.
I agree. All right, my man. Good stuff as always, and Merry Christmas to you and your family and the little puppy as well. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
She made the trip, and we'll see you back here next week.
Yep. Good show. Now I got to go look around my mom's house to see how many times she pooped in the 30 minutes we were recording this show. But Merry Christmas, buddy, and I hope to see you soon.
All right, bud. Take care.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Daily Wager Extra Podcast. Just a reminder, the 10-minute Daily Wager weekday podcast still out there. These are just bonuses. We got the bonus one tomorrow with the props and also Sunday night / Monday morning. So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone. Be safe out there, and we'll see you back here next week.